Think for a minute about how you communicate with God.
If you were dialoguing with a person, would you say the same sentence over and over again? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? You know, just keep saying it in a different way, but more like you're talking to God. You know, he's a creator of the universe. You don't need to use vain repetition. Don't use a mantra. Don't, you know, say this and over again. You just keep saying it. And you think that the more I say it this way, the more he's going to get the, you know, the idea of what I'm trying to say. Actually, no. It says they think they're going to be heard. Just speak normally. Speak honestly to the Lord.
When you give, whose approval and applause are you seeking? Man's or God's? We'll allow that penetrating question to examine our own hearts today on A Daily Walk. Today we'll be covering the first few verses of Matthew 6. Now throughout the scriptures, we're encouraged to give. But as we'll see in our study today, Jesus has his eye on more than just our outward actions. He's also concerned with why we're doing what we're doing and even how we do it. Here's our teacher, Pastor John Randall, focusing on the practice of giving and then the privilege of praying.
I want to bring up an important point concerning this passage that I think can be easily overlooked. And it's found in the word when in verse 3. When you do your charitable deed. Please notice that it doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, if you do a charitable deed. He actually says, when you do it. And it is therefore implied that this is something that is a part of the follower of Christ, to be charitable. This is something that follows the example of Christ. I mean, it's very evident because the Bible says God so loved that he gave. He's a charitable God. He's a generous God. He gave his very best. And you remember in Matthew 25, Jesus talked about this. You remember, he said to a certain group, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't help me. When I was unclothed, you didn't clothe me. You didn't do these things. To another group, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you came to me. When I was in prison, you ministered to me. When I was unclothed, you covered me. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? And Jesus said, as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. He commended them because as they were charitable to those that were in need, the Lord said, when you did that, you did that to me and for me. And he honored them and blessed them as a result. It's not a matter of if I give to the Lord, but when I do. This is the attitude that I'm to have. It's not a matter of if I serve the Lord. No, when I serve the Lord. This is a part of following Christ. And the question perhaps you might ask yourself tonight is, in what way are you giving to the Lord? In what way are you serving the Lord? For some, they're only on the receiving end of the charity of others, but they don't share in it. And that's unfortunate because there's a tremendous joy and reward and a blessing that follows. Oftentimes people ask the question, and because it's in the context, I think it is worth noting. They ask the question about giving to the Lord financially. How much is a person supposed to give? In what way are they supposed to give? What percentage are they supposed to offer? This is something that would often come up in pastor's perspective questions. What people want to know. And I think it's commendable that they want to know. But there are some basic principles as it relates to giving. First of all, it's important to remember it's supposed to be an act of worship. We lifted our voices to the Lord tonight. We lifted our hands in praise to God. And we sang of our love and our gratitude toward him. That is a act of worship. It's not the only one. I think sometimes people misunderstand and think that worship is simply reserved for the singing that we do before the sermon that is given. But worship is more than that. Worship is actually a way of life. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice, the Bible says. It's an act of worship. This life is dedicated as an act of worship. It's a reasonable service that I render to the Lord. All that I am ultimately belongs to Jesus. Everything that I have, it's really on loan to me from Him. And so when I give, it's supposed to be an act of worship. It's my response to the Lord. In the Old Testament, they gave 10% under the law. Actually, under the law, it was 10%. That's where people get the tithe from the Old Covenant. What are we supposed to give under grace? That's something that we have to ask the Lord. It's an act of worship. The second thing I think it's important to keep in mind is it's an individual matter. It's something that goes between you and the Lord Jesus. It's something between you and Him. There's no percentage laid out in the New Testament. There's no, this is how much and hold that. It doesn't say that. It's an individual matter. The Bible says, let each person give as he purposes in his heart. It's between you and the Lord. That's something you need to take before Jesus. Thirdly, I think another thing to consider, especially from the biblical record, is it was consistent. It was something that was purposed in their heart. And it was something deliberately that they did. It was something consistent. It was a part of their life. If God gives something to me, I have the privilege of giving back to Him. I'm amazed, honestly, at how much the Lord lets me keep. I mean, I don't deserve any of it. Fourthly, I think in light of this context, it's supposed to be anonymous. I'm not supposed to go around and tell people and, hey, let them know this is what I give and so forth. It's supposed to be as much as I can anonymous, not pomp and circumstance, can you list the top 10 givers? Let's just see where they are tonight. Stand up. Where are you? Come on now. Let's hear. Listen, we would never do that. I don't even know who gives what. And I'm thankful I don't know. There are times when people have come to me personally in the congregation over the last 11 years and say, Pastor John, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I'm like, What's wrong? Why are you sorry? Things have been really tight financially, and I haven't been given, and I just feel terrible about it. I just hey, take that to the Lord. He knows your situation. You don't need to tell me. And I've been on the other end where I've had people come up to me. No, not so much recently. I'm reaching back a little bit, but I've had people come up to me and say, hey, where's Todd Box? They got a wad of cash they want to hand it to me. Hey, bro, this isn't the tithe box, I can tell you that. Don't give that to me. Go put it in that box back there. Let you give it to somebody who can put it in an envelope. It's between you and Jesus. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is, or left hand know what your right hand is doing. Or vice versa, if you're left-handed. Just give it to the Lord and don't worry about it. The real reason to give to God is because we can't help it. As William Barclay said, because the need wakens a desire that cannot be stilled. And I understand when I give that I reap what I sow. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. It's not a pyramid scheme. It's not like, okay, you got invited to some meeting. Somebody, you ever been invited to one of those meetings? Hey, I got this business opportunity I want to tell you about, and I just would love to have you come to the house. Got a few people coming over. We're going to have some shrimp. It's going to be great. Just come on over, and you're going to really love it. And then you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, shrimp. I mean, it's just a real great business opportunity. You ever been lulled into one of those things? And you show up, and the food's good. And you're like, man, this is cool. And then all of a sudden, all right, let's everybody gather around. You're like, oh, and suddenly you don't feel so good anymore. You ate all that food. Now you feel like you have to stay because they've got this whole presentation that they're going to break down and this way. And if you will help me, see what happens is I make a lot of money and you help me make it. You see how this works? Yeah. Another shrimp? No, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want any more. No, I'm good. And then if you get people, then they help you make money. And then eventually, and then you walk out of there like, I just tell you, I've been lulled into those things before and they never work. That's me. That's my experience. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I will not get into it ever again. Where was I going with all of that? Oh, I know. I was saying giving to God is not a pyramid scheme. That's what I was saying. I'm sorry. God doesn't say, come on in here. All right, if you give me this much, John, then I'm going to hook you up. This is what I'm going to do. You see, you're going to be a gold member. You're going to go platinum, and then you're going to go all the way to the diamond, buddy. You're on your way, mister. Yeah. It's not like that. The fact is, I've been blessed so much. How could I not give back to the Lord already? It's not like, I mean, he's given me salvation. He's given me life. He's given me life more abundantly. Who am I? But to invest in the kingdom of God is a tremendous blessing. You know, if you think about the investments that people make, hoping to get some return in the future, and I think it's wise to be a good steward of what God gives you, to invest wisely, to be smart with what you've been entrusted with. However, there are many people that they only invest in things that are temporary, but they don't invest in anything that is eternal. And Jesus said, listen, don't lay up for yourselves treasure here on earth, where moth and rust and thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Send it ahead. And the Bible promises great reward. So Jesus exhorted us in that way. Now, moving on from the practice of giving, Jesus talks about the privilege of praying. Look at verse 5. And when, not if, but when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Again, please note, it's not a matter of if you pray. It says when you pray. When you pray, Jesus said, don't be like this. Don't be like the hypocrites. Apparently, there was a way in which the hypocrites prayed, and Jesus didn't want his disciples to follow that example. That was a poor example of prayer. Don't do it that way, he's saying. And what was it like? Well, there were a number of problems that had occurred among the religious leaders in the area of prayer. For many, prayer had become nothing more than a ritual, mechanical. The words were set in a way, the prayer was set in a way, and you just recite it, just say it out, just do it, nailed it, and then you're on your way. I said my prayers. You could just repeat it over and over again without really even considering the content of your prayer or that you were actually dialoguing with someone. You just were just saying it, but you didn't even think about what you were saying. Then they had prescribed prayers. And in the prescribed prayers, you know, you'd have prayers for certain occasions already written out. This is the, what's the occasion? It's birthday? All right, hold on a second. Birthday prayer. Here we go. Bow your heads, please. And you would read the birthday prayer. This is a wedding? Hold on a second. All right, sit with the wedding prayer. Bow your heads, please. You know, you'd say the wedding prayer. And in all of these different prescribed prayers, a book, you just read it and there you go. And that's kind of what it was like. No heart to it. No thought about you're actually speaking and dialoguing with the creator of the universe. Furthermore, the religious leaders felt that your prayers were more powerful the longer that they were. So the longer you prayed, the more powerful your prayers. It was important to be lengthy in your prayers. That would make them more effective. You remember in Mark's gospel, the 12th chapter, Jesus talked about the religious leaders and they said, for appearance, they make long prayers. Again, quoting Charles Spurgeon, I believe it was him. I think he said that the man that prays long in public probably doesn't pray very much in private. And so he just wants to get it all out there in public, but not too much private prayer. But he wants everybody to know that he's a man of prayer. Worst of all, was mentioned here that they prayed not to be heard by God, but again, to be seen by men. That was worse than anything. They prayed not because they wanted to speak to God, but because they wanted everybody else to hear them pray and the way that they prayed. The Jews would pray, and specifically the religious leaders, would pray three times a day, at 9, at noon, and at 3. The scribes would pray in the synagogue. However, if they were on their way to the synagogue and they happened to be a little bit late, let's say prayer starts at 9 a.m., but you just happen to be a little bit late. Oh, look at that. It's 9 a.m. I got to pray because I got to be right on time. And so they would pray, and it says here they would pray on a street. Now, this isn't a little side street where you just kind of go off to the side. It's 9 o'clock, or I'm just going to pray over here for a second. Just, Lord, you know, it's not that kind of a thing. When it speaks of a street, it means a major interchange where everybody was. A thoroughfare. I mean, you are just, you're right on the corner, and there are people coming one way and the other way, and you just stop right there, lift your hands, raise your voice. Oh, God, thank you. You start praying out loud. Suddenly, everybody stops what they're doing, and they go, oh, that guy's so spiritual. I can't even believe it. I'm so humbled by his. And they're just like, look at him pray. And that just fired him up even more. Hallelujah. You know, pray, you know, just more intense, with more fervor, with more religious, you know, practice. It just got so, and people, oh, wow. Did you hear that prayer? That was powerful. Thank you. I'll be here at noon if you want to come back. You know, they would go through this kind of praying to be heard by people. Wow. You remember in Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, Jesus told a parable about two men who went to pray. One, a religious leader. The other was a publican, the worst of sinners. And it says in Luke 18, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Luke 18. And despised others. So two men go up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood up and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I mean, can you imagine going to a prayer meeting? God, I'm so thankful that I'm just not one of these people, like this guy right here who's here to pray. I just thank you that I'm not like him. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless God. You know, and this guy's just, oh, he already feels bad, but you just made it worse. And then he goes on to parade his accomplishments before the Lord. Lord, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And he just parades his accomplishments and his self-righteousness to God in prayer. And then it says the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat on his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. One man came thinking, God's going to hear me. Check out my prayers. And the other man felt so unworthy, and Jesus was looking at the heart behind the person praying. And so he receives the prayers of one and rejects the prayers of the other in that sense, in this parable. Jesus then tells his disciples how they're to pray. Don't be like a hypocrite. Don't put on a show. Don't get all, you know, old English, break it down. You know, sometimes you're in prayer, you're like, yeah, you know, speak English, just speak normal. Suddenly people get a prayer voice sometimes. Again, it's like suddenly they just talking normal, and suddenly they get their prayer voice. Like, it's like, where are you going with that? You don't talk like that. How come you're praying like that? You're freaking me out. Let's just talk to God. And sometimes people's prayers, you know, they're just soft, but suddenly they raise the volume. As if God were deaf, like he can't hear you. Oh God, like, hey, it's cool, you know, just bring it down a few notches. Jesus said, here's how you're to pray. You ready for this? Look at this model. When you pray, go into your room. And when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think that they will be heard for their many words. They think that. Therefore, don't be like them. For your Father, I love this, knows the things that you have need of, even before you ask. Jesus tells his disciples, when you pray, go to a secluded place. It's not saying that you can't pray in public, or you can't pray with a group, or you can't pray openly in that sense, because we can come to the Lord anytime, from any place, wherever we are. We don't even have to pray out loud. We can even pray internally, just talking to the Lord as we're, you know, just with him or just whatever we're doing throughout the day. We have this opportunity of open line of communication. But here Jesus said, there's a time when you can go and you can pray in seclusion. And you go into this secret place. And I think the reason for the seclusion and the solitude is because we're so easily distracted. And so when you get into a secret place or you get into a quiet spot, you're away from all things distracting. You know, maybe, you know, leave your phone outside the thing. Leave your, you know, and so, because unless you want to get a picture of yourself praying, me in my prayer closet, and then post it, which would totally be missing the point here, right? Don't do that. The heathen do that. The tax, the Pharisees would do that. If they could, if there was social media back then, those guys would be like, they would always be, every shot. Pharisee.com, you would just be able to, yep, there they are. So sick of this, you know? Is there a dislike button on this? You'd block them. So in seclusion, that's important. But then he also says, notice this, without vain repetition. I mean, if you were dialoguing with a person, would you say the same sentence over and over again? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? You know, just keep saying it in a different way, but more like you're talking to God. You know, he's the creator of the universe. You don't need to use vain repetition. Don't use a mantra. Don't, you know, say this and over again, and you just keep saying it. And that you think that the more I say it this way, the more he's going to get the, you know, the idea of what I'm trying to say. Actually, no. It says they think they're going to be heard. Just speak normally. Speak honestly to the Lord. And sometimes we grow up with those prayers. Okay, say your prayers. All right. What are you going to pray? Now I lay me down and sleep. You know, I pray. And it's just scary. That one's scary to me. I mean, what kid is going to pray that prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I mean, it's just really creepy. I mean, what kid's going to even close his eyes? You know, it's just scary. He's like, honey, what's wrong? I don't know if my soul's going to take. You know, I'm just so scared. Vain repetition. Sometimes at the dinner table, we have that token prayer. I'm guilty of it. I just want to eat. Lord, bless this food to our bodies. Let's do this. You know, I mean, just be a little more heartfelt in your prayers. I'm exhorting myself. Think about what you're praying. I mean, do you realize where this food comes from? I mean, do you realize it just didn't, you know, I mean, somebody had to harvest it. Somebody had to plant it. Somebody had to package it. Somebody had to, you know, take the gluten out of it or put it in, you know. So we ought to be, you know, thankful to the Lord before we receive it. But you don't have to use vain repetition. That's silly.
Pastor John Randall helping us pray the right way. And this is A Daily Walk. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount right now. Hear it again at adailywalk.org. Look for the A Daily Walk podcast on Apple, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or download our church app so you can listen through your mobile device. Just search for Calvary South OC. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way, that's available for a cost of $5. We're here to help you at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. When a listener takes the time to write or call, it really blesses us more than words can tell. And yes, Pastor John reads your emails and letters. The Lord deserves all the credit for anything good that comes from and through this ministry, and it's an opportunity to praise and thank Him for what He's doing. Share a praise report or a prayer request at adailywalk@gmail.com. Our featured resource right now is The Making of a Godly Man, Lessons from the Life of David. David was far from perfect. He's often remembered for his sin with Bathsheba and murder cover-up. But though he was a sinner, just like you and me, he was a man after God's own heart. God would use him greatly and mold and shape him into a godly man. He can do the same for you. Order The Making of a Godly Man online at adailywalk.org. Maybe request an extra one or two to give away on Father's Day. You can also call us at 877-242-0828. If you believe in what we're doing here at A Daily Walk and would like to get behind us, we'd very much appreciate your prayers and financial support. While there are substantial costs of being on the radio and internet, God has proven to be faithful to provide where He's guided us. To make a donation today, drop by adailywalk.org or again call 877-242-0828. And then join us for our next study in the book of Matthew with Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk. This program is made possible through your generosity and brought to you by Calvary South OC.